Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from christministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 71. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including the postage and handling.
The Lord has directed me to have the sister read one of the pieces of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago. And this one is called The Nations Are Angry. I think everyone needs to hear this piece of literature. As a matter of fact, I'm sure they do. And so stay tuned, don't turn that dial. But right now let's go to the throne of the living God to ask him to anoint this service outwardly. We have an inward anointing when we are born of the Spirit, but when we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to be receiving the outward anointing on a daily basis for the purpose of preaching the gospel. We need to have the Lord speaking in us and through us, because if we are not allowing God to speak through us, then they are our words, and our words can never save a soul. They need to be the words of the Almighty God. Lord, I pray that your words will be rich in me this evening, and that you will open the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of the people in the world and the minds, so that they can hear the word of the Lord, and that their minds can receive it, and that their spiritual eyes will be open to see everything that you want them to see and hear in this message this evening, that their souls might be saved and that the church may be strengthened. I ask it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
We're going to have to get busy on this piece of literature. And the name of it again?
The Nations Are Angry.
The nations are angry at the word of God. They're angry at God himself. That's why they're trying to extract the name God. And they're trying to extract the name of Christmas. In other words, it's not a Christmas tree, but a holiday tree. Well, I'm thumbing my nose at you people. We still call it a Christmas tree over here because it's Christ's birthday, not holiday's birthday. Amen?
Amen.
You people that get offended with God, wait till you stand in front of him, because he's so offended at you that he's sending earthquakes and all sorts of plagues of diseases, typhoons, hurricanes. Every kind of plague in the world, in this piece of literature, will tell you something about that. You better be careful about being offended at the name of God and offended at his word, which is the only truth on the face of this earth, and being offended with his children, offended with Christ. Do you know that the Bible says that if you're offended at the Lord, he's going to be offended at you? If you're offended with the name of God and the name of Christ, then you're Antichrist. Antichrist means against Christ, and who can win a battle against Christ? You'll come down with cancer, tuberculosis, the bird flu, or something. Something's going to happen to you because you're offending God and his people. And it would be better that a millstone so large that it would have to be driven by a team of oxen, that it be hung around your neck, and that you'd be cast into the sea, because listen, you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You'd better shape up or ship out, repent or perish. Okay, now the nations are angry. Isn't that something? God destroys nations or he can build them up. So nations, listen up. Okay, here we go.
All of the troubles in today's world are caused by the devil and his people, not by God or his people. God calls the devil's world system, which is ruled by religious politicians, the mother of every evil on earth.
Don't Antichrist, the mother of every abomination, every evil on earth. Okay?
Yes.
Then what?
Don't blame God for what the devil has done and is currently doing to you and your loved ones.
Right. The Lord says that Satan's seat is in Rome. Rome, the Bible says, is where Satan sits. Now, just as the Spirit of God lives in his people, the Spirit of Satan lives in the popes and all his people. There are two corporate bodies of people. There's only two different people in the world. One is Christ. The other is Antichrist. One is the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one is Adam. Adam must be born again of the Spirit. All unsaved people must be born of the Spirit. Homosexuals say, we was born that way. Fornicators say, we were born that way. Some people say, we were born to have sex. Well, that's why you have to be born again. You're actually born here on earth to serve God and take power and dominion over this world. That's why the Lord created you, not to go out and raise hell, because God is going to cast hell and you, if that's what you want to do, into the lake of fire, and you're going to stay there forever, gnashing on your teeth and chewing on your tongue for the pain. All right? So listen up, okay? Keep going.
God cannot be pressured by anyone.
No, it's not you or anyone, all you people out there. You're going to put some pressure behind God. How you going to take his name out of these buildings? You're not wise at all. How stupid can you get, Mortimer? Okay, what else?
God cannot be pressured by anyone, including special interest groups, to change his law of walking in God's Spirit, which is the law of God's life present in every saved person, his never-changing moral law, which is kept by God's life in all those who are saved, his purpose, or any of his holy divine ways. People need to learn that God is not a politician, but their creator. He doesn't need your or my vote to stay in power. He is the dictator over all. How do people not know this and not fear him? If we keep this dictator's commandments, he promises he will supply our every need, but not our every want. If we don't keep the dictator's commandments, he will smite us with every curse mentioned in chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy. The troubles that are happening in the world today are not caused by people keeping God's commandments, but by people disobeying God's commandments.
And God said he's the one sending the plagues. He brags about it. Okay, then what?
The dictator does not change. As people become more corrupt, his actions against them will increase. This is the dictator's, God's, true character. No one, not you or anyone else, will ever change him.
This dictator is a king, and you never change the rules of a king. Democracy, republicanism, or all these fascist countries, communism, they always change their rules. But you can't change one rule of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a dictator or a king from before the world was created, yesterday, today, and forever. And so you may try to change his law and even the times and the seasons, but you're just fighting against the wind. You can't fight against God. God's the one that's going to wreck the world, and you can see that he's doing a good job of it already.
Mm-hmm.
But this is nothing in comparison to what you're going to see. He's going to move the world right off of his axis. He says the mountains are going to disappear, and so is the hills. And every one of you people, if you remain vile and wicked, you're going to pray for the mountains and the rocks to fall on you when you see Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, returning in the eastern sky. He's going to split the skies open, and you're going to be wailing and weeping for the rest of eternity. And eternity never ends. Okay, then what?
If you increase your corruption, he will increase the woes in your life. Get angry at him, and he'll get angry at you. You'll find out sooner or later that the dictator will not lose any fight with you. You may be stubborn, but he's more stubborn. If you're angry, know that he's even angrier. If you think you have power, realize that he has far more power. All of you who feel you can fight the dictator cannot together lift one small mountain range and hold it up for even 1 hour. God holds all mountain ranges, the earth, and the entire universe together with his word and his spirit. He has been doing so since the beginning of time. If we want the dictator to unlock some mystery in his word, or to let us know what lies ahead in the future, his word tells us to go to him in prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks the mystery. Every praying soul will receive gold mines of scriptural knowledge and everyday direction. I receive the direction of my literature by praying to God, the dictator in heaven. Once again, God has revealed to me what to write for this month, June 1998. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. The things the world system has taught the world and continues teaching it are the exact opposite of those things taught by God. Wisdom has found no place in this world where she might dwell. I have seen the fountain of righteousness, and he is inexhaustible. Around him are many fountains of wisdom. All the thirsty shall drink of them and be filled with wisdom. Then their dwellings will be with the righteous, holy, and elect. Three visions. I have served several years in prison on false charges, which were fabricated by people who were angry with God, with his word, and with me for delivering God's word.
And these charges were tax fraud. Of course, I swear before the Lord it was a false charge. But anyway, keep going.
12 days before my release to a halfway house, a fellow inmate in prison who rarely speaks to anyone told me of three visions he had. All of them were the same. All were of my deceased wife, Susan. In every vision, Susan told him to give me one message. That message was, they're angry.
And that means the nations are angry. They were so angry that they have attempted to put me in prison over 1,000 times. The federal agents today have stated that the government has tried to talk them into assassinating me, but the Lord stopped them. So it's obvious that the nations, that Satan is angry, because Satan has people in every nation. And most of the people, the Bible says that Satan has deceived the entire world. Are you one of the world that he has deceived? Or are you going along with what the Lord says? You know, the Lord is the only truth in the world, and if he says something and you're believing something else, then that means you're antichrist, you're against the word of God. The Bible says that God is the word. The Bible says that Jesus is the word of God, the entire word of God. It says so in the first chapter of John, and it says so also in the book of Revelation. So to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, means if you believe on the entire word of God, thou shalt be saved. But if you don't believe in the entire word of God, thou shalt be damned, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make up that all these things in the Old Testament were changed. One of the things that the Old Testament changed was that there's no longer any animal sacrifices. That's about it, kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The animal sacrifices in the law are done away with because the true sacrifice came into the world, and that was Jesus. Now, the Jews were cursed for a couple thousand years. King Titus destroyed them in 70 AD, and they were dispersed all over the world. And they were returned as an end-time sign to their homeland in 1947-48. And so that alone should frighten people into knowing that it's time of the coming of the Lord. He's standing at the threshold right now, ready to come back. And in order to warn people, he's sending down diseases and plagues of other kinds, as I mentioned before. Order the piece of literature that I've written that the Lord gave me, Earthquake and Mass Suicide. People are committing mass suicide by not believing the Lord. There isn't any better way to commit suicide than to thumb your nose at God, because you're not going to get away with that. That wouldn't be so bad if you died, but there is a place to go after death, and that is either the kingdom of heaven or the pit of hell in the lake of fire. And if you're not serving the Lord, you're going to the pit of hell in the lake of fire. There's no other way. You may not like that, but you're nothing but a little person made out of dirt. And you have to humble your dirty, rotten knees and bow down before your Creator, because you're going to do it here, or he's going to come back and make you do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you better get right with the Lord right now, because I can tell you, you're going to be scared out of your wits. You're going to vomit. Your knees are going to smash together, and you're going to get so sick when you find out that what I'm telling you is what the Bible says is the actual truth. And I've seen Christ appear before me. And I have seen one vision after the other, and I know that he exists. I wouldn't be this cocksure if I hadn't seen it with my own eye. And so you believe what I am telling you, because it's the truth. Continue on.
He said the visions were in black and white, and in them Susan appeared like a geometric doll. She told him there will be more messages to come. He said her name was Edith. Susan's true name at birth was Edith Opal Horn.
And hardly anybody ever knew that. Then what?
She changed her name for the career she chose when she was young, as an actress in the motion picture industry. God severed her from that industry. The inmate who saw the three visions did not know Susan's real name until he learned it in the vision. I know that everyone in the world has been dealt with by God in ways similar to this inmate.
This inmate, never heard of it before. I don't know if it's the same inmate, but there was an inmate that she appeared before over in Idaho, in Boise. He said that she talked to him about the Lord all the time and gave him my phone number, and he never heard of me before. And he called me and he says, I don't know why I'm supposed to call you or who you are or anything, but this blonde woman appeared in my cell and she had a wedding dress on. He didn't know she was buried with a wedding dress on. She had seen a vision of herself preaching the gospel to the entire world in a wedding dress. And the only time she ever had that wedding dress on was when she died. I tried to find a dress for her burial, and I couldn't find one, but this Glenda Parsons in Fort Smith, Arkansas, said, I'll help you find one. So she fixed her hair in the coffin, and we went to a store in Tulsa. And I said, that dress there looks real nice. And she said, well, that's a wedding gown. I said, well, let's put it on her. Let's get it, because I like that better than anything we've ever seen. So we bought it. Then we put it on her, and when I saw her in the casket with that on, she looked so beautiful. And I remember that she had told me that she had a vision of herself preaching the gospel to the entire world in a wedding dress. And I thought, my God, she's going to raise from the dead, because she actually stated that the Lord told her that. People have called also and stated that they saw visions of her standing by her casket with the wedding dress on. And it says, Susan Alamo says she rose from the dead. This has been 23 years ago. She died on April 8, 1982. And she said, Tony, I'm going to die, and I will be gone for quite a while. And she says, then I'm going to raise from the dead, and you and I are going to be the two witnesses. Now, we know that Elijah was John the Baptist, and the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but these two witnesses are the ones that tormented people on earth with the gospel more than anybody else. And when they got killed, they don't even bury them. They're on the ground for 3 days and three nights. Then God raises them from the dead, and they ascend up into the kingdom of heaven. And the people are so happy that they're killed, because we tormented you with the word of God to the point to where you send presents to each other, because we're not going to be around preaching the gospel to you anymore. The gospel tells you that you got to shape up. The gospel tells you that you've got to do what the Lord said, because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He made us all kings and priests here on earth that really believe him and are preaching the gospel this way. But he's the king over us. He's the king of us kings and the lord of us lords. And then just to prove that he rose from the dead and ascended up into the kingdom of heaven in the cloud, the Lord lets the two witnesses. He lets Sue and myself go up in a cloud. And everybody will see that. They'll see it on television. Then they'll believe that Christ also resurrected. And people should then say, my God, this is a last witness that the Lord resurrected. And that should give everybody a lot of faith to believe Christ was dead, that he rose from the dead, and that he ascended into heaven. Because if he takes two nothings like us and does that with us, well, then how much more would the Lord be able to die and resurrect? As a matter of fact, the Lord says he's going to resurrect everybody from the dead, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting destruction. Now, this is the most exciting thing in the world to me. You may think that there's nothing in this world, because there isn't. There's the song that Tony Bennett and Peggy Lee sing, Is That All There Is? Yeah, that's all there is here in this world. It's just the same old humdrum fires and the same old, you know, people getting married and having children and working and supporting them and sending them to school, and then they get put in a box and die and go to heaven or to hell. But in the gospel field, my God, God has got so many supernatural things. You never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. It's exciting. And God provides everything for us, okay? Not filthy stuff that you people out there that are unsafe like, but God gives you the power to not want that filthy stuff any longer, and gives you the power to preach the gospel and teach the gospel, and he gives you power over your flesh, all your lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he gives you the power over fear of satanic things, over the satanic world cult in Rome and the government that it controls, the world government and the world media. They're thumbing their nose at God, and God, through me, is thumbing my nose at them, all right? I'm not against them. I'm trying to win their souls. Now, if you think that that's against them or against you, then you're sick in your head, all right? Now, somebody had to come along and tell you what you are, okay? And after Susie went on to be with the Lord, I didn't care about my own life. And I don't care about it to this very day. So that's why I guess they call me so porky. But I'll tell you the way it is, okay? But I love your soul. But I don't love the sins that you're doing. Your heavenly creator doesn't love the things you're doing either. So shape up, get saved, or he'll ship you out. Now let's continue on. We only have a few more minutes here.
God told us he would do this in the last days with these words, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. That statement means everyone in the world will have a revelation from God. He is doing this in his mercy to show everyone that his word has not been altered, that it is true, and that it comes to pass.
Right, the revelation he's given you is through preachers. He pours out his spirit on us, and we pour out his spirit by letting him preach through us. So he's pouring out his spirit on you. Don't say he's not, because he is. Then what?
God states through the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
See, when I was a young man, I saw visions. And now I'm prophesying. I'm an older man now. Not so old that I can't preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Keep going.
And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. The inmate telling me of the three visions was just one of billions of fulfillments of God's prophecy, confirming his prophecy through the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Unfortunately, most people will not admit that they have had visions or dreams from God. They are afraid that people who say they believe in God but really don't believe he exists will think they're crazy.
And they won't admit that they believe the gospel. But some of them just, they believe it, but they just want to have what they think is fun. But once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, things that you think are fun, you'll see how dirt they are. They're just out and out dirt. And you'll realize it when you're saved. And the things that you don't like, you don't love, you will love them because you'll know it's true. There's something when you get saved, when you become born again of the Spirit. You don't have to be born a homosexual. That's why you need to be born again. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need to be a fornicator. You need to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit is where the power is. It gives you the power to not be a homosexual or a pervert of any kind. Well,
in the inmate's three visions, Susan stated, "Tell Tony they're angry." Susan's and my ministry is the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation.
The nations are angry, is what she meant. Okay, then what else?
These three visions of Susan show that the next scripture from the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation is about to come to pass. And the nations were angry, and God's wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18.
Yeah, man, there's a gang of people that just enjoy destroying the earth, just sending people everywhere, bombing them, so that they can have power and dominion over them for a few more days. And then after that, they have to spend eternity being tortured in hell in the lake of fire. Then you weasels out there that are doing this will not think you're so smart to have done these things. You'll wish to God that you wouldn't have been as stupid as you are. You'll wish to God that you would have believed the gospel and did what I'm doing right now. And some of you could very well do that. But you love the admiration of men. You love to be exalted. You'd love to have a position of power in the White House of all places. Oh, incidentally, is that place still run over with rats? I heard there were so many rats in the building that you couldn't get rid of them. Maybe we could help you out. You know, we can bring some traps in there and things, okay? Okay, then what else?
The world system destroys the earth by teaching the people of the world to do the exact opposite of what the dictator commands them to do. The people of the world are like Eve in the garden. They're listening to Satan instead of to the dictator. That old serpent, the devil, by his evil spirit living in his people in the world system, is teaching people to be angry at God, at his word, and at his people. So what if the entire world is angry at God?
So what if the entire world is angry at me? As long as God is with me, who could be against me? Amen?
Amen.
If all of you want to go to hell, go. Well, don't think that you're going to influence me or be so angry that you're going to scare me. It hasn't worked yet. I've been here 41 years talking the same way as I am now. Okay, then what?
What can the entire earth or even the universe gain by being angry at this great dictator, at his word, which is being fulfilled each and every moment, or at his people?
Yeah, like myself, he doesn't scare me. God scares me, though, but you don't. I'm more afraid of God than I am the entire United Nations, the media, and the cult in Rome, Roman Catholicism, and all the other isms in the world. Okay, keep going.
Psalm 2 reveals the same blasphemous and futile anger of the nations against this great dictator, his word, and his people. The psalmist David speaks of this satanic, preposterous anger in Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage, be angry, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us."
Yeah, let's send them to prison on false charges. Let's say all these lies about them. The Lord sits sitting in the heavens laughing at you, bums. Keep going.
In today's world, there is much anger directed toward the truth of God, his word, and his people. This is the focus of the world system today. But again, what good will it do them to be angry with God?
You say, well, how can you be a minister calling people bums? When I look at John the Baptist, he called you a bunch of snakes, vipers, and Jesus said you're a bunch of dogs and pigs. Amen?
Amen.
Serpents? Okay, so bums is a good word for you. Would you rather be called snakes than dogs and pigs? Well, if that's what you prefer, fine. There you go. If the shoe fits, put it on. Okay, then what?
What are they going to do against the great I Am, the Almighty? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Psalm 2, verses 4 through 5. How foolish it is for both the kings of the world and the people to rise up in anger against God, his word, and his people. This is something the Bible confirms has been done many times over by many eternal losers. Still, this foolishness has accelerated in these last days. These fools who have been given satanic power claim that the most dangerous people in the world are those who carry the gospel, not themselves. They state that the entire world must be angry with those who serve God. One foolish loser, King Belshazzar, is mentioned in Daniel chapter 5, verses 5 through 6, and chapter 5, verse 9. Belshazzar decided to mock the dictator and his people by using the golden vessels of the temple of God in a drunken orgy. Suddenly, in the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose. He had a bowel movement because of his sudden realization and terror of God, and his knees smote one against another.
When you become so afraid of the Lord that you have a bowel movement, it'll be too late. You're still going to burn, chew on your tongue, and gnash your teeth. Okay? And don't worry, the heat down there will dry up your bowel movement. Amen? Then what?
This terror of God will soon strike every one of the foolish people in the world who are angry at God, at his word, or at his people. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. King Belshazzar was told by the queen of a prophet named Daniel, who could interpret the things that the hand wrote on the wall. When Daniel came on the scene, Belshazzar offered him many gifts and rewards to tell him the meaning of the writing on the wall. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation."
The Lord showed him that his kingdom was over, and I see that the time has run out.
Ask the Lord to enter into your heart. Ask him to wash all your filthy sins away. Ask him by the Spirit, "Jesus, come into my heart with the Father by the Spirit, and wash all my filthy sins away. Enter into me and give me the strength that will make me more than a conqueror in you. And Lord, I will read your word and I will keep your word. But I know that you won't turn me away, because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved." Just praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program number 71.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
I'm sure you'll want to hear the remainder of this message, so tune in tomorrow and be educated in the spiritual realm, because there's something greater than this world. It's the world to come, and it's a long life, either in heaven or in hell in the lake of fire. You may not like the choice you have, but that's the choice we all have. I had to shape up or ship out, and whether you want to or not, you're going to stand in front of the Lord. And it could be tonight, you don't know. It could be in the morning, you could drive to work. I've met people that got dressed up and brushed their teeth and combed their hair, got in their car, and had head-on collisions, and they were dead and in hell, for sure. All right, so this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow, and God bless you and praise the Lord.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.